Hey guys, gut check. If your six-pack abs are covered with flab, it's time to cut the fat. Lose weight the easy way with Nutrisystem for Men, now delivering hearty inspirations meals that fill you up without letting you down. We're talking bigger lunches and bigger dinners packed with protein to control hunger for up to 5 hours. From savory bourbon chicken to mouth-watering meatloaf, they're exactly what a man's body needs to power through the day. You get breakfasts, lunches, dinners, and snacks, all fully prepared, totally delicious, and delivered free to your door. No salads, no juices, just real food for serious appetites. Order today and get all new fuel shakes for men. They're made with the key ingredient velocitol that doubles the power of protein to help you maintain muscle mass while losing weight and feeling satisfied. Don't wait any longer. Order now for a simple way to lose weight, build strength, boost energy, and burn fat. Go to Nutrisystem.com/protein to lock in your special deal. Offer restrictions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to the Right Room Podcast with me, Rupen Paul. I'm a stand-up comedian from India, and this is my weekly podcast, a show where I have conversations with people whom I consider accomplished, entertaining, and inspiring.
Hello and welcome to the Right Room Podcast. My name is Rupen Paul, and with me is a very special guest joining me all the way from Chennai by way of call, comedian Praveen Kumar. Praveen Kumar, thank you so much for doing the Right Room once again.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure. It's a third time, I think, right?
It's a third time, yeah. I was actually, This is the first episode for this year. I was looking for someone to have like a nice positive start to this entire year. And who else than the king of discipline, I would call him. Mr. Praveen Kumar. Yes.
But thanks for having me for the third time in your channel.
Thank you. It's my pleasure, sir. I just want to ask you right off the bat. Like, we often talk about, a bunch of things on this podcast, right? But were you always this disciplined?
Depends on if I'm doing what I like. See, if you're asking me if I am disciplined when I was working in the day job, no. If you're asking me if I was disciplined when I was in my college, partly yes and partly no. Partly no for studies, partly yes for other things apart from studies.
Right.
Be it being a mime director or being putting out mime, acting in mimes and all that. So that time I was so disciplined. Because it totally depends on if I like that. No, if I like doing what I am doing, then I'll be totally disciplined.
Right, interesting. So even right now when you're doing stand-up, right, I think we can all safely agree as comedians, we do a bunch of things. Like you do a couple of new things you have to do apart from just doing the stage shows, right? Like you do your streaming, you do a bunch of other podcasts or whatever with other of your friends, right? But the thing that you enjoy the most is stand-up and, you know, being funny. So apart from being funny, do you now have some sort of discipline in like other areas of your life as well?
See, apart from being a stand-up comedian, see, now during this lockdown, what I realized is the trend is slowly changing. It's not only stand-up. You have to be present somewhere, wherever you are comfortable with. Like, for example, when the stage shows are not happening, when you're not able to put out stand-up videos, but still you have to stay relevant. So what I thought of, I discussed with a lot of people, then Ajay told me, live streaming is the thing that is going on now. Live streaming, you have to do YouTube live. So I thought of different options and see what I am comfortable with and what audience are comfortable with and what both of us are comfortable with. You know, that should be a sync also. Then I thought, okay, this will be a good idea to do a Tamil movie quiz kind of a thing where audience also will be involved and there will be an audience winner every week. So I thought of putting out a format with that. And then I think I've done about 7 episodes now. Right. 2 more to go and then semis and finals are left. So that is the whole thing. To stay relevant, apart from being funny, to stay relevant and to engage with the audience is one more thing. So engaging with the audience is not just putting out content, putting out jokes and all that. They should also be involved in what you are doing. So that way, I think I'm doing a fairly good job in making them involved in this particular stream. So they answer, they get to be part of the next episode's participant. So right, that so way, apart from being funny, these two are helping me.
Right. So I think this goes along the lines of, you know, you're taking care of your audience. You're not just, you know, using the audience to get what you want in terms of, you know, someone to listen to your jokes, but you're also keeping them engaged in your own Praveen Kumar sort of way, correct?
Definitely, because see, if you think about it, a lot of audience are so talented. Only thing, there will be some reason or the other which is stopping them to do what they wanted to do. But there are so many closet comedians, there are so many movie buffs out there. And, you know, this is the kind of platform they can express them, express their knowledge about Tamil cinema and see how good they are in that. So it's not only you, it's also about them. It's not only about them watching you, it's also about them participating with you.
Right. So I think this goes, you know, with certain shows you just do, and some audience, you know, usually audience, when the audience participate in the shows, we mostly hate it, right? But every once in a while, there's some comedian in the audience who says something really funny, who really makes you laugh.
Yes. Worst thing is, it'll be funnier than your joke. That's the worst thing. So yeah. You'd have thought about it and wrote about it for after weeks and weeks of open mics, but suddenly one small punchline comes out of your audience. The other audience will laugh more than your jokes.
Yeah.
So that's the worst thing to happen, especially when they're drunk in a bar.
Yeah. I would say the same thing. there's very small chance of, you know, extroverted people who really like to participate being there in cafes, right? Whereas in a bar, all those extroverted people who really like to get a party going, they come and they just vibe so well sometimes that they have a line that's way funnier than us.
Exactly. In a bar, everybody will become extroverted people. Imagine already extroverted people then.
Right, they'll become more extroverted, right?
Exactly.
Because
it will be extroverted.
Oh my God. Okay, we have to keep count of this. This is already 6 minutes in. Praveen has made his first Praveen joke. Yeah, I would say the same. I remember one time I was doing a comedy show at Vapor. I don't know if it's still open though. Right, and we're doing a show at Vapor, and there was this couple. The thing is, the show was so packed, and there was this couple that was sitting in on the stage. Literally, their table was the stage. All right, that's how packed Vapor was. And this was when Kenny was taping his first set of videos. And I asked this man, right? So what do you do? Mm-hmm. And he said, I do software. And then I asked. So it's already funny right now. He's already set it up, and then his wife. Knows that I'm going to ask her as well. All right. Now, he said, I do software. And then I asked his wife, so what do you do? She said, what are you? I asked her. And she said, I am software.
Oh.
And she did it just to make us all laugh.
Oh, wow.
And the entire crowd. I think
there cannot be any more better punchline than this.
Nothing, sir. You had to walk away. That day, I think she got the biggest round of applause. And I still remember that lady. I think after like 5 years, we again met at some show, and I said, I remember you both.
Oh. You were still doing software at that time? How did he find any passion after that?
I don't know, sir. Sir, I've just thought about it so many times, right? Like when you're on this side, right? Like I think you and me have both crossed that side of, you know, just working horrible jobs and doing something fun.
Yeah, of course.
And now when I see someone doing a horrible job at 35, right? It almost breaks my heart.
Oh, so true.
But this is a good time to start streaming, and you know, like I think you're saying, we're talking about doing other things, and I think one thing this lockdown has taught us, like you said, correctly said, like stand-up is such a variable in our lives, right? It could, we thought it would be a constant, right? We'd at least thought,
correct,
like,
exactly.
At least open mics would be a constant, if not the paid shows, right?
Exactly.
But even that got kicked out of this entire equation. And do you think
so? Nothing is constant now. Even this pandemic is not constant now. It's we are going to go for the vaccines now. But then, yeah, like I said, we cannot keep having only one thing, depend on one thing. That's the biggest lesson. See, I always thought I will not going to do anything else in my life except stand up.
Yes.
Okay. The past 10 months taught me otherwise.
Right. And how has this process been, like, of you doing stuff not related to stand up and you entering into a new space, actually, because you're not just looking after yourself right now, but you're also trying to involve the audience, engage the audience, make sure that they have a... In a way, you're creating your own sort of party, right, with the audience, because they're also having fun and with you. So how has this process been of going away from stand-up and doing shows and doing content which is completely non-stand-up based?
Great. Actually, see, the time I took to decide what I was supposed to do This very, very high, you know what I mean? I had to think a lot before coming up, before shortlisting this, because I, as I said before, I need to find something which I like, which audience also like, which audience like me doing it. So there are three things that I have to consider. So these three things converged in this Kollywood game show kind of a thing. Then after that, it's like I said, it's if I'm interested, I'll be disciplined. So every Sunday I'm doing it. So I am disciplined now to get out, get questions on, write questions on my own. And now people are suggesting ideas and they are sending out questions, actually getting some questions outsourced by audience. Okay. Audience are so into now, they are sending me answers, I mean, questions, because they know the format, they know what kind of thinking I have, they know what kind of movies I will go with, and they exactly stick to the same thing, and then they send me the questions. So that way, that is really helpful. I'm happy that at least these people are seriously watching it, even if it is lesser number of people than a stand-up, much lesser than a stand-up, but at least they are very, very loyal. Right. See, if you think about it, when I start the live streaming, on the chat section, you can actually see people who are regularly coming and they are talking to each other like, hey, it's been 1 week, how was your week? You know, that kind of a thing. So they, it's like a small community that is formed.
Right.
A small. I'm happy. Even if it is three times more views and not much of community vibes, I'll not be this much happy. But even if it is less now, they are talking to each other, they are forming a community and they are suggesting where I went wrong. I'm getting emails saying this could have been this way, this could have been that. See, I'm happy that they are actually watching, number one. I'm happy that they're watching it and giving me suggestions, which is the second level to this. So I think I've chosen the right thing to do for a YouTube live. This is going to be till I start doing live shows next month. And once the finals are over, I'll start doing the live shows. And depending on the response and the demand, probably I'll go with the season two parallelly along with the live show tour.
Beautiful, sir. Beautiful. So I think this, you're trying to build another kind of a platform to engage with the audience, which has been, you know, I think it's also spilling over to the live show, right? Which will slowly spill over to the live show because you've sort of built a community. And I think in stand-up to some extent, we are all responsible apart from making people laugh. We're also to some large extent, you know, important in just creating some sort of a community. Because, you know, actually, if you see like the people who come for our live shows, they constantly keep coming for our live shows.
Correct.
And in turn, they kind of make friends and they kind of form connections.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, so I think you're seeing that happen firsthand.
Yeah, see, this is one more thing happened which I forgot to tell you is a couple of days back, I got an email from one of the audience member who saw the live and she said, no, I think this episode is biased because you wanted your known person to win this, not the audience member. Looks like you forgot to pass one thing intentionally.
Okay.
Because otherwise the audience member would have won. You want your known person to win, the other comedian to win. Mm-hmm. Then I replied to her saying, sorry, you're mistaken. It's a live thing. In fact, working with an audience member is much easier than working with a comedian to get their dates and all that. I would have preferred an audience member to win the thing. Unfortunately, he didn't get that much marks. But it was a live event, so there has to be some room for error. It was a genuine mistake from my end. It's nothing intentional. Then she replied saying, sorry, I made a mistake of judging you badly. So in order to compensate for that, I'll send you a 2,000 rupees worth Amazon coupon. And she sent that.
Wow. Wow.
So that happens.
Oh. I think the stand-up is sometimes, I mean, like just doing this in our line of work, right? Has just shown how people can just be so randomly kind to us.
Exactly. It was totally unexpected. See, I thought, okay, she'll accept that mistake and understand where I'm coming from. That's all I expected. But this is like customer delight, not satisfaction, customer delight. I'm really happy that she went on to the extent saying that this is for your support. I like your stand-up comedy and for my mistake. And this is the thing, small gratitude, token of gratitude. Wow.
I was actually like not in the similar case, like no one has sent me an Amazon coupon, but you know, like, you know, in stand-up there are so many things that are just so wonderful that the audience does, right? We kind of forget how good the audience is to us, because we're kind of always using the audience selfishly for getting a laugh. And as long as they give us a laugh, we're happy. If they don't give us a laugh, even if they're a decent person, we hate seeing their face in that show. Right. But I think we often forget like how sweet the audience is. I like, it goes to small things, right? Like the audience buying the comedians drinks after the show, and they give you a free drink. Like, I have never bought anyone or any random person a free anything.
So yeah. true. This is very, very kind of audience, you know. They, whether they are drunk or sober or whatever it is, they like you. Once they like you, they'll go to any extent to make you happy. And that happened.
Right. That's so beautiful. I wanted to ask you, how did you settle on this idea of movies as a theme for your streaming? Are you a huge fan of movies apart from stand-up?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of movie. Huge fan of movie.
Okay. See, a huge fan, how huge? Like, how many movies do you watch, like, a day, a week?
See, it's not about the number of movies. It's about the quality of any movie. Okay, even you know it's going to be crap, still I'll go to theater and watch it. You know?
Right.
See, and especially my family, you know, my wife and my daughter, all of us are movie buffs. So any movie, okay, so that's the only thing which we are missing for the past 10 months. Any movie, we'll go to theater and watch it.
Right.
Now, during the lockdown, I became even more fan of other language movies. I started watching Malayalam movies, Telugu movies. Oh my God, they're amazing.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So, I'm yet to start watching English movies though. But yeah, I'll start doing that. But Tamil movies, already I'm a huge fan. Like, I watch everything. I know most of the things in Tamil movies. But this lockdown made me watch Malayalam movies. I became a huge fan of Malayalam movies after this.
Right. That's beautiful. So even before the lockdown, were you going to like the movies every alternate day, every week?
At least every week we'll go to one movie, because every week, whenever the movie is getting released, we know that movie won't last for more than 3 days in theater. So we'll go to the we'll go on the first or second day itself, because we know that movie will be bad. We know that movie is not going to be lasting in the theater, but still we would want to watch the movie in the theater.
Right. I don't know how you do it, because like, I am very picky when it comes to, first of all, I'm not like a huge movie person, but I am like a huge movie fan, right? You know, the difference is like, I just would watch a really good movie. I would not watch every single movie to review it, right? So like, is it the case that even if it's a bad movie, you go there with the intention of checking what that movie is or why that movie is bad, or with the intention of like, you know, secretly converting that bad part of it into comedy material?
I was actually doing one more series called Enada Padangidu before this, the parallelly running. That was a movie review kind of a thing for bad movies. But when I go to theater, I don't watch it for review. I go to have fun and get the feel of it. Then if if I want to do a review of it, I'll have to watch it again, you know, for the second or third time. But first time, I'll go for the experience.
Okay.
However bad it is or however good it is, I'll just go for the experience of it. Seeing with others with popcorn in your hand and, you know, watching it with a huge screen, it's a different kind of an experience. And, you know, any kind of movie deserves that kind of experience, because we know the kind of work that goes behind doing that kind of a movie. So it has to be, I don't know how to say it. You have to give due respect to that kind of a movie and then watch it in theater with the proper popcorn and family around you.
Right. I think if there's anyone who's listening to it who's remotely in the movie business, how much they'll be in love with you right now. Right? You're the ideal audience. Because I think there's a debate that's been happening for so long. Like, there's a popular English film director called Martin Scorsese, right? And he has been talking about this, like, this entire last 2 years. He's been saying, like, you know, people are just watching movies on their phone. That's not how you watch a movie. You watch a movie in the theater because there's so much of effort and love put into that movie.
Correct. So when you watch it in theater and watch it online or TV, you actually know the difference. When you watch it in theater, even a mediocre movie, you'll start liking it. But when you watch it in TV, the movie has to be really good for you to get impressed.
Right. And I think it also has to do with it also has to be, I mean, it has to do with you making an effort to have a good time, right? When you go to a movie theater, you're really making an effort. You're getting ready.
Correct.
You're going to this place. You're looking forward to something. Then you're running to the movie theater because like, oh, the movie's going to start. We need to get started immediately. And then you watch
the
movie. And
exactly.
For that 2 hours, you kind of forget about everything else that's happening.
Exactly. Come cut out from the rest of the world. Put your phone on silent. And you, your family and popcorn and the movie, that's all. And especially in PVR, no, when you know we are getting late, we're really scared we'll miss the... My wife wants to watch the movie always with the from the title, not even title, that certificate screen.
Certificate, yeah.
For then only the entire feel will be there. If we miss 1 second also, we'll be like, oh, what did we miss? Hey, nothing, yeah. Only one certificate. Don't steal that certificate we missed. You know, that kind of feel. But PVR always helps us. Even if you go 25 minutes late, still that Mukesh will be there. So.
Yeah. Wow. At least let me watch that guy getting cancer.
So even if you go 25 minutes late, you'll still watch the movie from the certificate.
I remember before the lockdown, right? Just, I think, 1 week before the lockdown, I went to an IMAX. And I think I was having a bad day, so I called my friend, went to an IMAX. And we watched, I think, Ford versus Ferrari. Have you seen Ford versus Ferrari?
Sir? No. Okay. Only on the roads.
Praveen, joke number 2. All right. Keeping tab of it. So, but it's a beautiful experience because it's an IMAX. So the thing is, it's about it's actually a true story. It's based on a true story or an actual rivalry between these two companies, right? And it was in an IMAX. What better experience, right?
Yeah,
because
there's
water, there's sound, there's like vibrations that you're actually feeling as the cars are like moving in that speed, right? And there was a person sitting next to us, and 10 minutes into the movie, that guy said, hey, this is a boring movie, and he walked out.
Oh.
And how upset I was with that guy.
He must have been a Fiat fan.
Either a really diehard Fiat fan, or imagine he's not impressed by anything in his life.
Yeah, exactly. Make a note of him and make him not to come into any stand-up comedy shows.
Oh God,
he won't get impressed at all.
Yeah, I think that's sometimes really sad, right? You see someone, or I think my only theory is that you know how when you go for an office outing, right? You don't enjoy the restaurant because your office paid for it. You're just trying to find some fault in it, right?
Exactly.
I think his office gave him a free movie because he stayed overnight one day or something.
Oh man.
But this is good.
Seriously.
So this is good. So I think like now apart from, you know, Praveen Kumar being known for like, you know, biryani and all of that, you also have another thing that you're known for, which is like movies and all of that.
Yeah, especially when you said IMAX, no, I do watch some English movies, especially with animated ones.
Yeah.
Because Sanju, my daughter, loves animated movies. So I saw Kung Fu Panda 3 in IMAX with the proper glasses, with the PVR IMAX. Amazing experience it was.
Yeah.
Even if it is an animated movie, still it was the way they shot it, way they made it, not shot, made it was great.
They made it.
And I also saw Toy Story Part 4.
Right
in an IMAX, so the great experiences.
Oh, well, that's really good. Like, so you also enjoy like the children movies because you have a daughter and you're able to.
I started watching because of her. Then I started liking it. See, I saw Shaun the Sheep in theater.
Right.
So this kind of, you see, the Cars. I'm a huge fan of Zootopia.
Right.
Zootopia and Toy Story series. And what else is there? This Finding Nemo, Toy Story, Cars, Madagascar. That's what one I was missing. Madagascar, Ice Age. So these are all of these movies we have seen in theater.
Right. I think, you know, one thing about animated movies which don't get that much of credits. Actually, I feel a lot of these animated movies, right? I don't know if I would say most, but a lot, right? Have quite adult themes. Right? Like, as in, they have themes that are so profound to, like, adult life.
Correct.
Which is correct.
So they are trying to make both ends meet, is what I'm guessing. So they're getting audience, now they're getting children because it's animated. They're getting adults because the theme is adult-based.
And they're keeping their parents, and they're keeping those parents also in their seats by, you know, actually catering to one sentiment that adults can relate to, I think.
Exactly. Otherwise, we'll just sleep or start taking out your mobile phone and notify that. So basically, to avoid that, they can come combining both the worlds.
Right. But has there been a movie that you watched in a theater where you've just tuned out, where you've just tuned out of the movie and you just said, like, what am I going to do after this movie starts?
After the movie starts?
After the movie ends. Yeah. What am I can't wait to just leave this place. Has that ever happened?
See, there are tons of times where I wanted to leave during the interval itself, but still, I wanted to see how bad it would be. That's one portion of me which is slightly optimistic and say, okay, first half is bad, second half may be good, you know, maybe, but it will most probably turn out to be worse than first half. But still, that experience of when you start. You know, disliking the movie, then you start looking out for others, see their expression. You turn and see others, they'll be talking to themselves. So then you know, okay, you're not alone. Everybody hates this movie, then fine. Then you start talking to each other, start commenting on it. See, me and my wife, we both enjoy commenting during a bad movie.
Right.
So that's why we didn't go to theaters now, because there will be one seat left in between.
Okay, correct. Okay.
So we have to make a phone call to make a comment to each other. So,
or you have to make independent points and then on the way back home discuss it.
Yeah, you discuss. Yeah. So basically, we love making comments. So even if the movie is good, we'll enjoy. If the movie is bad, we'll still enjoy, but by making comments on the bad movie. During the movie.
This is really beautiful, right? I think this is like proper, any good friends, I wouldn't say like you guys are husband and wife, right? But any good friends, you either have awesome experiences or for the rest of your life, you just bitch about horrible experiences.
Exactly.
Oh, this is so good. I think this is also the reason, I was just talking about this with my friend, right? Like, I think, you know, when you watch a horrible movie, the first thing that you do after watching a horrible movie, especially a movie that is being talked about a lot but is horrible, right, is that you dig up some of those movie reviews and then you try to find the nastiest movie review that suits the feeling that you have.
And read it and share it with others and say, this is why I don't like this movie.
Yeah. I think after this entire, I mean, like, because you're a huge movie fan, do you kind of understand movie critics right now? Because I've never understood movie critics like all my life, right? Like, why would someone just watch movies and then just shit on movies and just say horrible things on movies? But now, since you're kind of in this space where you're trying to have this live streaming thing, you watch a lot of movies, even if it's bad. Do you understand movie critics right now?
See, you have to understand movie critics by watching at least 3 or 4 of their reviews. Then you know what kind of movie critics are there. For example, there is one kind of a movie reviewer will be like, if the movie is simple, straightforward, they won't like it. There has to be a lot of confusions, convolutions, something which you don't understand at all, like an Inception or kind of a thing. Then they like it.
Right.
But some movies, no, some reviewers, they like simple ones. Okay, if you give it in a platter, they'll enjoy it. They like... If you have to make them think, if you have to make them, let's say it's like, if it's like an Inception kind of a convoluted storyline, they might not enjoy it. So it depends on the review. Only if you see their reviews for at least 4 or 5 times, you will know what kind of reviewer they are and what kind of movies will impress them.
Okay.
So right. One particular movie might not impress everybody.
Right.
Unless it is one of the best movies in all time. But I'm saying that the subjective, like, similar to stand-up comedy, right? Mm-hmm. See, some people might like my style, some people might like your style, some people might like any style.
Yes.
But not every one person cannot be fans of every comedian, because every comedian is different, their styles are different. Similarly, movies are different, their audience are different, the reviewers are different. Even if the reviewers are giving you point by point, different departmental reviews, like a cinematography is like this, editing is like this, playback singing is like this. Still, overall, again, their perception will be different. If one reviewer likes the movie, the other person need not have to like the movie. Any art form, for that matter, it's subjective.
Right. Okay. I think this is very, you're completely opposite, I think I would say, of the type of person that, you know, that watches like a bad movie and then just tunes out, right? You actually stay with it and find out like, what is it bad? Why did they make this movie? Why did they go ahead with this entire process? And then I think you completely understand this, right? And even movie reviews, like adding to your point about how, you know, there are different movie reviewers and there are, each reviewer sees a certain portion of thing, right? Some person sees if the story is complex, some person sees if the story is easy and light, right? Do you feel that movie reviewers have like a significant role in affecting like, you know, people's choices when it comes to picking movies?
Yes, I definitely do, because there are two, this one particular person I would say in Tamil movie industry called Blue Sattamaran.
Right.
Okay, this guy always wears a blue shirt.
Okay.
Okay. So I know tons of people who will wait for his review before watching the movie. He puts out the review on the first day itself. Okay. So we wait for the movie. 99% he won't like the movie. Okay. He's that kind of a person who will, who will spew hatred on any kind of movie.
Okay.
Okay. But still it'll be funny. So people would want to watch his review to go for the movie or not. Depends on how much he hated the movie. Anyway, he's going to hate the movie. If he's hated really bad, then they'll avoid it. If he hated okay on a superficial level, he said it could have been better, then definitely it would be a good movie. They'll go and watch it. So tons of people depend on his review to go and watch a movie.
So is it like he hates on most of the movies, right? But some movies he hates less. And that movie which he hates less, everyone floods to the theaters.
Correct.
But does he also...
That will be a decent movie to watch.
Right. Does he also every once in a while, like very rarely, like once in 2 years, say like, hey, this is a great movie?
I don't think he has ever said it's a great movie. He said it's a good movie, not a bad movie. Something like that. But definitely it's not said, according to me, he has definitely not said it's a great movie. Go and watch, nothing. Then his personality, his character will be bad.
Like
he's positioned himself in the market for not liking any movie. So, unless he's paid to make any comment, like I don't think he's paid, because I don't think he has said anything good about any movie.
Right.
You should watch his channel, Tamil Talkies. Okay. Whenever you're free, just watch his reviews. It should be so funny, especially the big star movies. Okay.
Okay.
You should see the hatred he'll get from their fans. The dislikes will be 3 times more than the likes in the video.
Oh,
but still,
God.
They will be threatened. He'll be threatened. Okay. In the comments, he'll be like, we know your address. We'll come and throw stones. All these threatened will be there. He won't mind at all. The next movie also, he'll be to do the same thing. So the same actor. So,
this
he is one legend.
Yeah, he's a gangster, I would say. This is exactly how gangsters operate. Gangsters are never happy with, like, you know, the task that their gangs do, right? And to please the head will be so difficult. But every once in a while, the head will be like, okay, you are not horrible today.
Exactly. So if you go to his homepage of his channel and see the thumbnails of all the videos he'll be wearing only one color shirt. That's blue shirt. So that's why it's called Blue Sattamaran.
Right. No, this is beautiful. I think even like I think reality TV also does that. It did that, I think, before in the early 2000s, right? Like in American Idol, there was always a guy called Simon Cowell, and he would try and shit on every single person, no matter how positive their story was. Even if they had like some positive story, like, hey, I was homeless and then I just had a guitar and now I sang and now I'm so good and I'm entertaining all these people and here I am an American Idol, he'll still say, but your voice is not that great also. But every once in a while, like after many shows, he'll be like, you are good today, and then the whole room lights up just because they made him happy.
Yeah, I think he sounds very much like this guy.
Yeah, I think it's a very, very clever strategy to get people to watch movies. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I don't think so, right? Like, I don't think it's possible, like, movie directors or movie makers actually worry about filmmakers. I mean, sorry, about film critics. Do you think that is the case or am I wrong?
For the past 2 years, they're a little bit skeptical, because even Rajinikanth, when one of his meetings, he said, see, we are not saying no to critics, but please release your reviews after 3 days, after first 3 days. Because right. The first 3 days of any box office collection decides the fate of the movie.
Right.
Okay, so if they tell the story or if they give the review that it's bad, nobody will come and watch it. So now, slowly, the actors and producers and directors are understanding that there are a lot of people who depend on the reviewers to make a choice whether to watch the movie or not. So they insist the critics and the reviewers to release the critic after the first 3 days of the movie, but still nobody cares. Everybody releases, yeah. And there's a competition also who releases it first, you know. So oh. They go to the preview, the direct. Some of the directors will invite them for previews, yeah. And make them watch the movie just to get hatred from them. So,
right. I think a very interesting, if you are a comedian movie reviewer, right? Like everything yeah. which is being talked about bad by all these star critics who do it seriously as a profession, right? I think yeah. what you ought to do is find a way to say, like, actually, the movie wasn't that bad also, right? And here is why this movie wasn't that bad. And they do the opposite for all the good movies that they find great. This movie wasn't that great too.
But still.
Yeah, correct. And you just go the opposite direction, basically. Oh, this is so much of this is so much very interesting. This is because I think, you know, definitely there are, like we mentioned in this podcast, there are two different types of movie people, right? People who watch any movie, right, which clearly yeah. you seem to be the type of, right? And people who watch only are very picky in their choice of movies.
Yeah. Correct. See, I also did a show called Academy Awards.
Yes.
Okay, along with three other comics, Mervin, Jagan, and Manoj. So what we did was entire year 2019. Whatever movies came in, we selected the movies which wouldn't have got any other award, and we gave them the award yeah. in different categories.
Did you get into it? I am aware that you got into some flack with like, you know, one actor in South industry. But did you get any praise from the South industry for doing it?
No.
Okay.
This was the, like, what we got from a South Indian actor was for 2018 show. Mm-hmm. And this one, we didn't get any flag because we were very, very careful.
Right.
This time while we're writing, see whether we like it or not, this is how it's going to be from the top actors and all that. So right. we avoided certain things knowingly, intentionally we avoided just for us to reach home safely after that.
Right.
And also we selected some weird kind of, what do you call, categories. Like I gave one award for best Adengappa award for best advanced strategy.
Right.
So in the movie, whatever strategy they do to achieve something.
Yeah.
So I gave them that. And also did one more category called Singapenne award for best heroine. Yeah. And the third prize, the winner will always be a twist. I gave the award for best heroine to Biryani.
So you just went absurd.
Absurd in the sense there was no heroine in that movie. Okay.
Right.
Number two is, I'll give the definition of a heroine first. What will be a Tamil cinema's heroine's role in the movie is, even right. if they remove her from the movie, there won't be any change. They'll appear for only two scenes and they give motivation to the hero. Okay. Right. And in that movie, hero will be tired. He eats biryani, gets motivated and fights the villains.
Yeah, that's a perfect heroine. Yeah.
Perfect heroine, exactly. So this way, nobody will get offended, right? Hmm. So these kind of weird strategies we did. And one more strategy for, one more award for advanced strategy we gave, the winner was Nityananda.
Oh, wow.
Because
yeah.
because other strategies was like, if you've done something wrong, if the police is looking for you, what will you do? You will escape the town and go for a town, different town.
Yeah.
This guy created a town. Imagine.
Yeah.
This guy went all the way, created a country by itself.
Yeah.
And he has a separate passport. So, yeah. So that's the best strategy ever.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, see, it's beautiful, I think, because, you know, I just realized as you were saying this, like, you know, in India as comedians, you can get into a lot of trouble by making fun of religion, right? A lot of trouble.
Yeah.
A lot of trouble. Like,
oh, yes.
as we are currently seeing right now with Munawar
yeah.
Faruqi.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think also by making fun of the movies, you also could be getting into a lot of trouble.
Correct. Because depends on the kind of hero acting in that movie. Because if it's a top movie, a top heroes movie, then we'll be in trouble.
Right. And that's, I think, the scary part, right? Because, like, in India, we're so butthurt about so many things that even, like, you know, we make fun of our gods, you get into trouble. But you also make fun of gods that people have made gods, right? Like, you know, a lot of actors and actresses. Then you could also get into trouble. What do you think, like, is this problem? Because I've always wondered, why is there so much of hero worship among movie stars?
That's how it is from the beginning, I'm saying. Because even if you see, I don't know what Farooqi did for hurting religious, and I haven't seen that video.
If he has done something, and the truth is, let me add to that point right now. Since yesterday, I've been trying to ask every single comedian, what is the video? And nobody's aware of the video. No one knows what the video is. No one knows what the joke is.
Exactly. See, nobody knows. But somebody told somebody that he has made fun of Hindu gods. Okay. This guy made fun of Hindu gods. This one guy called Nityananda, who is claiming himself to be God. Who's more faultier here?
Yeah. How disrespectful is that guy to God?
Right. Ah, exactly. He is claiming himself to... See, somebody asked him, saying, are you the president or prime minister of this country, kind of a thing, to that country he created.
Yeah.
He said, hey, I am claiming myself to be God. You are calling me prime minister. I am a God. That's the word he said.
Yeah.
He's actually claiming himself to be God. Who's at fault here? This guy who's made jokes, who... Still, it is not clear whether he actually made jokes or... He mentioned them. I don't know.
Yeah.
Farooq. But this guy clearly in all YouTube videos claiming that he is God.
Mm-hmm.
But still nobody bothers.
Yeah. That's the strangest part of the country, right? We don't know. As long as a person is worshipped as a hero, that person can get away with so much. Like, there are so many Bollywood actors who are so faulty. I'm not talking about, like, you know, obscure actors, right? I'm talking about people who are mega stars. And I think the same with any industry in the world. There are so many megastars in any industry that are so faulty. So how do they get away with it just because they're a hero? What do you think?
Correct. See, now also you're scared to tell the names out.
Yeah.
I'm also tell the names out. So that's how it is. Because be it cricket or politics or cinema.
Movies,
so these three things are dominating our country. Right, so if they like somebody to a huge extent, they'll go to any extent to defend that person, be it being in a jail for doing something huge. They'll go to any extent to defend that person. That person won't even know that this person existed.
Yeah,
that's the beauty of it. Let's say that
person doesn't exactly that person, your influencer, your star, doesn't give a shit about your existence.
Exactly,
yeah.
See, I became a huge fan of, let's say, Shah Rukh Khan, okay? I become a huge fan of Shah Rukh Khan. I go and build stones at others' houses, saying just because he tweeted saying that he didn't like one particular movie of Shah Rukh Khan.
Yeah.
Okay? I make myself a hero of amongst Shah Rukh Khan fans and all that, but still Shah Rukh Khan won't even know that I existed. He won't even care. Even if he knows that I exist, he won't even care because he had tons of other work to do.
Hmm. Right.
So... I think we are wasting time in doing hero worship. Best is to go to a movie theater, watch Toy Story 4.
Yeah, or go to IMAX and watch Kung Fu Panda 3.
Go to IMAX, watch Kung Fu Panda 3 or Toy Story 4.
Yeah. I think if I tell you what I feel, why there's so much of hero worship is because, you know, as a country, we have been deprived of so much of, you know, basic stuff, right? Like a decent house, like a decent way of life, right? But then we see all these people who have everything, that we think will make our lives better. Like, you know, an amazing house, like actors, politicians, cricketers, they have an amazing house, amazing lifestyle. They take private jets, they travel across the world, right?
Mm.
And they put up everything on Instagram and they do everything, right? So, as we see these people achieve this huge status, we're like, these people have done something to become gods. So the thing is, I think in India, the only way to become a god is you have to have a huge house and a huge way of life, and then you're a god.
That's called temple.
Exactly. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Because they see that these people already have what we have, and we will never be able to get it in our life, right? Like a person, for example, if you see Shah Rukh Khan, right? Like every birthday or every Eid, he comes out and he waves to all those people, right? Yeah. And all those people are going to go back and go and stay in a really horrible house cramped somewhere in Mumbai, right? And now they see this guy in this huge palace and he comes and he waves. He'd be like, this guy's our king and he's going to take care of us. Because he has so much that he'll take care of us.
He would have bunked college and I would have gone there to see him. He would have bunked any important family function. They should understand what is priority in their life. It's not going to help him in any way, help him or her in any way to go all the way out to some. See, you can like one person, okay? If I like Rajinikanth, okay? My expression of my love towards Rajinikanth is watching his movie on the first day.
Yeah.
I won't go to any extent. For example, if somebody start tweeting about him, okay, saying he's bad and his movies are bad and all that, I won't go all the way out to prove that he is good, because world knows that he's good.
Correct.
His level or stature won't come down if some random unknown person tweets that he's bad.
Right.
So that's the kind of understanding I have about my star, and I like him for being himself. Right. And I won't go and start fighting with some random person just because he doesn't like my star.
Yeah.
My star, that's all.
Yeah.
If everybody gets to that understanding, I think there won't be much fights in Twitter, and Twitter will be a very sober place.
Correct. Yeah, I think this reminds me actually of one old Daniel Fernandez joke a long time ago when he was talking about how we can't make jokes on religion, right? And he said like Christians get offended when some person makes a joke on their religion, right? But you need to understand, God doesn't need you as a bodyguard, right? God is supposed to be really powerful. If you claim God is so powerful, like he will let people know if they are a nuisance to him. You don't have to go with your tweet or your Facebook and let them know. Yeah. All right.
Exactly.
Okay. I just want to shift gears a little bit because we talked a lot about movies on this podcast. So I think this is an interesting year because we have overcome the worst. In a lot of ways, we've overcome the worst last year, right? We thought certain things are permanent. Certain things are a way of life. We made life choices that will, make comedy the most important thing. And unfortunately, this pandemic came, swept everything aside. But we still are here. We're still laughing. We're still trying to make others laugh. All of us have gone back to live shows. Unless there's a person who's just given up in this lockdown, right? But all of us have gone back to live shows. What do you think is going to change this year with people doing stand-up? And, what are the changes that you are personally going to make in the way you approach your comedy?
Approaching comedy will almost be the same. But the changes, what I feel is the number of venues might have come down. Some of the venues might have been permanently shut, unfortunately, because of the lockdown. And, initially till everybody gets vaccine, it's going to be a little more weird in the sense if they're putting a mask and sitting in the front row, you won't even know whether they're grinning or, they're sad or scolding you or laughing. It's going to be a little more weird, especially for a stand-up comedy show where we need pockets of people together, not apart from each other. It's exactly opposite of what this is going to be like a corporate show setup for every public show.
Right.
I hope the response also would not be like corporate shows. But on a serious note, I only hope and wish that we get vaccine soon and we'll get back to our lives normally, like everybody sitting together and watching a show, and thousands and 2,000 people shows should happen very soon, which I know for sure till vaccines it won't happen.
Right.
So maximum 100, 200 is the maximum we are doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Probably by April, May or June, we should be able to go back to pre-COVID days. That's the only change I'm seeing. Now, just for the sake of it, we have to start doing it. But will it be giving us 100% satisfaction? Probably not. But it will be giving us satisfaction that we are not doing a Zoom show, but a live show. And audience are actually paying and coming and watching us in spite of this pandemic. That's a huge respect we gain from the audience. And we give them the respect back for coming to us. But yeah. To go back to the original normal pre-COVID days, it will take some more time. But till then, we'll keep doing what we are doing. And we'll keep giving our best.
Right. And I think comedy will not die because we'll still have new things to talk about. And we'll have still...
Yeah, so many new things. Sitting at home in 10 months, so many things would have happened.
Yeah.
Especially for a married man and a court... What do you call yourself? A courtship period.
Engaged. Me, right? No, being engaged, right.
Being engaged person. You tell me now. I'll ask you a question. How is it now?
It's definitely changed so much, right? I think, I don't know what happens. I never knew being engaged would have changed things so much because I know my fiance for a while now. But okay. I think still being engaged, I would say being engaged has just made it really official. So now I feel like official about something, right? So, but even before this, right? Like, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's a guy thing, but as soon as you know that you're going to take like a more responsibility for something, right? The first exactly. thing is you start panicking and it's like, how am I going to deal with this new shit? Right. And then afterwards you don't want to do it. And then afterwards you'll be like, no, but this is the way life operates. I have to go to the next level or else exactly. I'm going to be in the same level and I'm not going to progress. I'm just going to be unhappy. And I think for me, luckily this, I mean, it nothing changed between being engaged and now, but you know, before, like I knew that, you know, because I know my fiance for long, I knew that this was going to be a serious relationship. So while we are getting into it, I was just a little bit stressed. And this was like 2 years ago. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be serious. Right. And if it was not serious, I'll be like, it's still okay. Oh, like one day I can leave and it'll be okay. Right. But if it's serious, you'll be like, this has got to happen and you got to up your game. Now you got to start taking responsibility. You got to take up the next challenge and man up and just move to the next level. And I was thinking about that for some time. Many times I would often think like, I should just tell her, like, I can't do this. But then I'll be like, this is, if I just keep pushing it away, I'll never go to the next level and I'll never be ready.
Exactly. You're postponing your responsibilities.
Correct. You can't postpone your responsibilities because eventually they'll catch up to you. And also,
yeah.
I remember doing one gig, I think just about this time, right? And I okay. and I was on stage and I'm not to sound, you know, but this had a really, it had some effect on me. And I saw all the people who were doing that, right? And I mean, that gig before me. So I was on stage with a bunch of other performers and none of them are married. And none of them had like, you know, anything in their personal life. Because I kind of knew them very indirectly through some people, right? Okay. And then I just saw them. I was like, these people are so unhappy because even right now they're so happy just on stage. But afterwards they go back. What do they go back home to? They go back home to nothing. And yeah. then there's absolutely no point in that. So I said, like, even, I just thought, like, even though it'll take, become, be really hard in the beginning, it's okay. I'll just deal with it. And then later on, eventually, I think it'll, the rewards will pay off.
Definitely. Otherwise, you will start getting old. That's why it's called engagement. So basically.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Basically, take up the responsibility, and you know, it's a good feeling, very, very good feeling to, you know, to know that there is somebody for you.
Yeah.
And especially even more after marriage. Now you will be busy with preparing for the marriage, this, yeah. that and all that. After marriage, you will see even more a better version of yourself.
Oh, that's right? Beautiful to hear.
You will see yourself more responsible. You will start doing a lot of new things. You will stop doing a lot of old things.
Yeah.
But everything is for good.
Yeah, I think so too. I think especially the stop doing a lot of old things, I think is a very liberating thing because you leave all the unnecessary things and unnecessary
exactly.
Waste of time in your life and just focus on doing the most important things.
Exactly. That's why after any show, I leave home early.
Yeah.
Because I don't want them to wait for long to go to bed, you know.
Yeah.
So definitely that will also, because during especially after Take 5 shows in Bangalore, yeah. people won't let me go out. It will be 11 o'clock. It'll be 11 o'clock is too late. I have to go. They're waiting for me. Both my wife and daughter will be waiting for me. I don't want them to wait for long.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So I'll rush back home after my set. So that kind of responsibility, see, my wife wouldn't have asked me to come early, but automatically you feel responsible.
Correct.
That the other person is waiting for you and it's getting late. They also have to go to bed. So automatically it will come to you after marriage. Now it will start showing signs.
Yeah.
Because you're not living in the same house, but slowly yep. you'll get into that.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. And also, I think even for you right now, right, like because you stay with your family. And I was telling someone, I think if your family has survived the lockdown and you still like each other, then you have a good family.
True. That is so true.
I think the question that we all should be asking, we should all be asking is your family going to be lockdown proof in the future? Yeah.
No, actually, for a comedian, it's not, especially for me, I don't do anything else. So I was mostly at home when I don't have shows.
Right.
Especially during weekdays. Weekends, if there's a travel or if there is a show, I'll go and perform and come. Otherwise, it's mostly at home. So I was already in lockdown before the lockdown. So I am used to this. So my wife is also used to me being at home throughout.
Yeah. So I think you made a good decision. We just caught up with you, right? Because like you're already made a good decision before this. Like I spent enough time with my family, with my wife, with your wife, with your kids, right? And then eventually, even when you had to get quarantined and all of you had to see each other's faces, you weren't annoyed at just seeing each other's faces. You were actually just like, hey, this is, we get more time to do this.
Exactly. We spent the time properly. I taught my daughter how to read and write Tamil.
Oh, beautiful.
So something useful to spend with. And I also wanted to talk to you about this dating. You dated it for 2 years and then you got engaged and all. Imagine an arranged marriage,
right,
whom you don't even know. You start with your engagement. That's how my life started. You started with engagement.
I dated for 1.5 years, I think. August 2019. Yeah. August 2019 is when I started dating. Yeah, but you go ahead. Yeah, so you started with an arranged marriage. Yeah.
You started with an engagement, imagine.
Right, yeah.
You start, first you be responsible, then I'll introduce who it is. That's the kind of introduction it was. So it's a kind of a gamble, but it worked for me. And it worked for many of them, but it might not always. But yours is, I think it's a most foolproof thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say the same thing. And also, like before dating her, I was a friend for a long time. She was my friend, so we kind of have.
That's even better.
Yeah, so we have like a lot in common. So because we get along with each other, right? So I think that's still good. But yeah, I was just telling someone the other day, right? Because on my engagement day, I was not too stressed on the engagement day, right? I was not like, oh my god, this is going to be a huge gamble, because I'd already known her by that point. But I was thinking, imagine for someone who's just about getting to know their significant other on the day of the engagement. Imagine how stressful it must be for that person.
Correct. You know, it's... I spoke to her. I saw her live for 10 minutes before engagement.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Okay, when I met her for the first time.
Yeah.
After that, we spoke on the phone for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. That's all. My idea was clear, okay? As long as I'm not getting any bad vibes, I am sure that I can make anything work. If I get bad vibes in the first meeting itself, then it's a no. I didn't get any bad vibes. In fact, I started getting good vibes.
Oh, beautiful. Right. So you knew that this is something that you could be with and you can handle.
Yeah, and I can work it out. Even if it is going beyond my expectations, still I can make it come down and work it out. So that way I was quite confident. But I didn't get any bad vibes. And can you believe this is the first girl I saw?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I didn't see any other girl so far.
Wow.
Yeah, first girl I saw, I like finished everything sorted.
Oh, so Praveen finishes everything quick also. All right. Yeah, but that's good. Yeah, I think it's good. I think it has to do something also with that part of your character. I think it has something to do with the way you like movies also, right? You don't just give up on the movie and just walk off. You'll be like, this is a PVR. I can make it work. As long as I have my popcorn, my family next to me, anything happens, I can make it work.
Worst case, you start commenting.
All right. So, Praveen Kumar, thank you so much for doing this. Really had fun doing this podcast. Very different podcast, right, from what we did the last two times.
Exactly. This is very, very less of stand-up comedy, more of other things, which I enjoyed.
Right. Even I enjoy these conversations. Like, you know, when you don't talk comedy with another comedian. It's beautiful. All right. Okay. So just quickly, we'll just make announcements. We have a few things that you have to plug. Praveen has a streaming thing which he wants to plug. So Praveen, I'll let you make those announcements. And also, please do plug your upcoming tour. And before I let you do that, I just want to mention, like, I think the last time I had Praveen on the podcast, he was slated for an Amazon Prime special. And the special has since been released and it's done well, right? Right, Praveen?
Yeah, I think it's quite well.
It's done quite well. I saw it. I really liked it. And so if you haven't checked it out, please check it out right now. It's still streaming, Mr. Family Man, on Amazon Prime Video. But yes, go ahead, Praveen.
Okay, this year has been, 2020 has been quite good in terms of videos for me. My Mr. Family Man came in Amazon Prime. Academy Awards came in YouTube. And then Comic Stan Tamil version came in Amazon Prime. I was one of the judges. So three major videos came out in 2020 for me. In 2021, I'm planning to do a live tour of my next special after Mr. Family Man. It's going to be in Tamil. It's one story of my wedding day. So whatever happened in my reception and wedding, I'm going to share it as a part of the show. And I'm going to start touring by Feb. So announcements will come soon. First round will mostly be in South India. Bangalore, Chennai, Coimbatore, Trichy, Madurai, Hyderabad, Pondicherry. And depending on the response and the number of people willing to come out during this pandemic, we'll see what are the other cities that can be covered. So announcements will come in my Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all that. So, and that is about my tour. And also, currently I am live streaming, YouTube streaming live my new comedy game, not comedy game show, it's a Tamil cinema game show called KPL, Kollywood Premier League. It's a Tamil cinema quiz. So every Sunday, 6 p.m., I am doing it in YouTube live on my YouTube channel. You can also be a part of it if you can answer the questions in the chat during the live show. So, and last two episodes left before the semis and finals. I think these are the two things which are going to happen in 2021.
Awesome. Awesome. Super, Praveen. I hope this year is good for all of us. And wishing you everything good in this year. And as always,
thank you so much, and wish you the same. And you're going to get married this year. This is going to be a turning point. This 2021, you will not be able to forget for the rest of your life. You shouldn't forget for the rest of your life, because when you attend a comedy show, one comedian asks, when will you get married? If you start thinking, then gone.
Yeah, correct. Right, that's absolutely right. Correct, that's correct. I am getting married this year. And thank you for everyone for your support and for your good wishes. And thank you, Praveen, for doing this episode. And let's hope that this year is a good year.
Thank you. You too.
Start a journey, not a fad. Kick off your fitness journey with up to $500 off Peloton Bike, Bike Plus, or Tread packages. Choose the package that will take your training to the next level with accessories like our cycling shoes, heart rate band, non-slip grip dumbbells, and more. Join now and you'll see why 92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later. All access membership separate. Offer ends January 8th, 2023. Excludes Bike, Bike Plus, and Tread Basics. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.